So, going to talk about using and managing GDM. And it's sort of going to be an overview of how GDM works, sort of as much as trying to set it up for random setups. I mean, most users wouldn't don't need to set it up at all, so it's more for like system administrators or somebody that wants to program something that would work with GDM. So, okay. So, what's GDM? It's the GNOME Display Manager. And then it takes care of all the accessions on a computer. So, anytime you have a display running, it would be sort of GDM taking care of it. If you have GDM set up for that, you wouldn't ever run StarDex. It takes care of all the things that, like, sort of the behind the scenes of setting up authentication and all that kind of stuff, because it's not really just a matter of starting a binary with the X server. It's, starting an X server is actually not all that nice. It's kind of a weird thing to do, it turns out. Because it's sort of like this, what you would expect 20 years ago, it would be nice new technology. Now it's sort of still at that state. It's a bunch of random scripts that you have to sort of run, and there's no documentation of how to do it. And there's only one other implementation of this, which is XDM. And you shouldn't look in the XDM source code, because it's really, really, really evil and ugly. And actually, GDM is kind of evil and ugly inside as well, but not as much as XDM. So it also allows remote login with XDMCP. And here, remote login, the word remote shouldn't mean halfway across the globe. It should mean halfway across the room. And you don't really want to use X halfway across the globe anyway, because that would be very slow. And also, this protocol is not really designed for, for really remote connections. And it's not very secure anyway. So it's mostly for, like, if you have a room full of terminal clients and you have some server and you want to run a terminal app. So that's what this would be for. And it's alternative to XDM. There's also, like, a subliminal message right next to it. I don't know if you can see it. It's a completely different code base from XDM. XDM does a lot of random things, like it handles all kinds of different network connections, whereas GDM right now only does TCP, IPv4. That's the only thing it does, which is really the only thing that we use. So there's something Sun wants to add, IPv6, but I'll accept a patch. But XDM does a whole bunch of random networks that nobody ever uses anymore. So, and there's yet another problem, KDM, but KDM is really XDM with a Qt sort of front end. So KDM is really XDM, so it's not really a different implementation. It's like a car alarm. And it's a lot of it is designed to be more user-friendly than XDM. I mean, it's not actually very hard to be more user-friendly than XDM, because XDM is kind of not user-friendly at all. I mean, the only user interface of XDM is the greeter, and the greeter is this place where you enter a username and a password, and it doesn't have any other user interface than that. If something goes wrong with XDM, it just sort of dies, and you have no clue what's happening, and you have to go figure it out. So it's not that hard to get there. So the history is that, for GNOME, you need some way to log in. So Martin K. Peterson wrote version 1, which was a very simple sort of login manager. It didn't do XDMCP, so it didn't do all the remote login stuff. So it was a very simple thing. They just ran local X session and allowed login. And I don't think it ever had a stable release. It was all the stuff from Martin was always beta, sort of perpetual beta that kind of didn't work, and there was huge patch sets from all the distributions to make it half work, and Not really. I mean, most of the most of the patches sort of made it work for local login. You know, even after XDMCP was added, and, you know, local login on one terminal, that sort of worked. But other than that, it wasn't really working. So Martin started version 2, and again, never finished it. It was in perpetual beta. And then that easel we were looking at, because at, you know, around the end of 2000, beginning of 2001, we were getting close to GNOME 2, or we thought we were getting close to GNOME 2. And we still had this, you know, really non-working login manager. So I took over GDM2, and Martin started GDM3, which, you know, there's some sort of a team going before ever releasing a stable version goes on to a new branch. But he never finished that. And the original reason I took over GDM2 was just to integrate all the patches and make it work and then stop working on it, because we're all going to use GDM3, which was supposed to be great and better and everything. But he never finished that. So it's if you ever get confused and you think GDM3 is newer, it's actually not. It's like this old code that doesn't work, that's not even mostly filled in. So I don't think you can even run it. So we had versions 2.2 was for GNOME 1, and that and 2.4 point something as for GNOME 2. And then I'm trying to sync the versions with GNOME. So now I've kept adding sort of dots and numbers. So now it's actually a major version step from 2.4.1.4, which was the latest stable, to 2.4.2.9.95 actually, which is the latest development. So that's actually a major step. But you know, as long as the version number is higher, I suppose it's okay. At some point, they should become routable, and you could use them for IP addresses. And, I don't know, unless I add a fifth number or something like that. So, okay, so the design overview of how GDM works. It's basically a bunch of processes. So you have the master process, which is this process which is never supposed to stop to do anything. It's just supposed to sort of be the puppet master. So it takes care of looking at the XDMCP connections and handling those. But once it actually wants to do something like run a session for a user, or even run the login DAO, it spawns a slave process. So each session is managed by a slave process. So everything that actually sets stuff up for the user is done in a slave rather than in a master. So this makes it more fail-safe, because if something goes wrong in a slave, the slave just dies and the master reruns a new slave. It actually has some stuff like if the slave crashes, the master tries to clean up. So for example, the master knows all the PIDs of all the children that slave made, so it can go and kill those. And then there's the GUI grader is actually, again, a separate process, and it's actually running an unprivileged user, usually called GDM. It's just a new name so that this user really has absolutely no privileges. Because you don't really want any privileges in the GUI. I mean, all you're doing is, the GUI is asking the user some questions, right? And with spam, even GDM sort of doesn't know what spam is asking. And it's just proxying that to the greeter. So the greeter doesn't even know, you know, what it's asking. It's just, hey, give me this, and I've got this string, and this is the query, and you're supposed to give me a string. And then it just tells the slave process, which in turn maybe tells the master process something, or tells spam something. So this makes it a much safer environment, because if somebody figures out how to do something with GDK, there's a buffer overrun or something. I mean, all they can do is maybe gain access to this unprivileged user, which can't do anything. I mean, they could probably do a denial of service for this display or maybe other displays, but they can't gain access to the system, right? And I mean, it is pretty unlikely that someone would do that because there's only one entry box and, you know, a couple of menus. It would be kind of hard to find a, you know, exploit for that. So this would be the sort of a picture of how this works. So you have this master process, you have a couple of slaves. The slaves run the X servers and also the user session or the login. Okay, so we have several actually different display types, three or four depending on how you count. So the first thing is the local static ones, and this is the ones that you would normally see. So it's usually your colon zero display, right? And these are servers that are always run, and when they die, they're run again, right? So this would be the standard way that most people use it. But sometimes you might have a friend comes over and wants to check email, and you're not really using your computer, but you don't really want to log out. So you'd want him to log in as himself, check email, and log out. So you'd really want to run a new X server, a new session. So you would call this command gdm flexiserver, and it actually starts this sort of on-demand X server. And on Linux, this is kind of nice because it takes care of all the virtual terminal allocations for you. So actually, it starts a new X server. The person logs in, does whatever he's doing, logs out, and actually jumps back to the original server. So it sort of looks like transparently, you know, you put a session in background, log in, and then put it in foreground again. So there's another flexible kind of server, which is based on XNest, which is if you don't really want to run a full server. This is kind of a cool demo thing, although I can't demo anything on this laptop because it's very old, slow, and I don't have even new GNOME on it. So, but it's basically sort of an X session in a window, right? So it might be useful for some things. It might be useful for more like remote logins, stuff like that. And the last display type is remote XDMCP servers, in which case, no local X server that is run. Right? The X server runs somewhere else and just requests a session to be run locally. And GDM manages that. So, okay. So configuration. So, GDM, I mean, the idea is that it should be easily configurable. This is one of the places where you really sort of do want a lot of configurability, because it's really, it depends on the system, on how they want to set it up, and there's a lot of like crackpot setups that people want to do. So you can't really do the just defaults, because the default is just one server and no remote, and, you know. So here we want a lot of configurability, but we don't want to expose it all. During the 2.2 setup, all the configurability was GUI, and you could completely host the system by just changing a couple of GUI things, which is kind of bad, I suppose. So now basically there's the in install file, which is sort of just, you have sections and key pairs, as sort of a standard Unix-like configuration. You can have comments and stuff like that. That's usually in that location, SRX11, GDM, GDMconf. And there's also a GUI setup. And the GUI setup just changing a few things that, you know, most end users would really care about changing. Because most of the other setup is really for system administrators. There's a couple of things in the GUI setup that may be for system administrators, but it's mostly for end users, for people that don't want to look into a configuration file. Also, another reason why there's, you know, some things aren't in the GUI setup is that I wanted the GUI setup to be immediate update, right? If you change something in the GUI setup, it immediately updates, and this doesn't work for all the keys, so it's like this weird notification setup for some of the keys. It rereads the configuration file. It also, I mean, if you change the configuration file, the GUI setup is done so that it tries to preserve most of the structure of your comments and where you place keys. So it should really be editable by both human and GUI at the same time. So if you use the GUI, it takes effect immediately. If you're hand editing, you have two options: either GDM safe restart, which means restart after everyone logs out, which is usually what you'd want to do. I mean, you don't want to kill existing sessions, especially not on a larger system. Or you can just GDM restart, which just zaps everything and starts over. Which, of course, would zap you if you're logged in, of course. So, and you know, you can send different signals for the same thing. So, there turns out to be three ways of doing the safe restart, actually. So, okay. So the greeters, there's actually right now two greeters. So one is the standard sort of GDK greeter, which is for the adult in you. It's, you know, it's a no glitch, but it probably works much better. It's not as nice, but you're never gonna get, you know, problems like a bad theme that completely breaks everything. It should be fast for remote logins because it doesn't draw all that much random stuff. So the graphical greeter is just really themeable, but you could download a theme that completely screws up your interface if you have no clue how to log in even, right? I mean, you could just place the buttons or not put the buttons at the, you know, there at all. So actually, if you ever get that, you can press F10 and you actually get a menu in the graphical greeter. So accessibility, the standard greeter is the one that is made to be accessible, although I've never tried it. I don't even know if it works. Apparently, the latest development versions, you can load Gale and all the AT stuff, but I have no clue how that works. So that's the one that should be accessible. The graphical one might be accessible, but likely not really. But for example, the buttons, I actually make off-screen versions of GDK buttons. So there are actually GDK buttons for all the graphical buttons on screen. So that's kind of a hack, but it should maybe make it accessible because all the buttons actually exist as standard GDK widgets. So, but I don't know how that works, and I don't know if that, you know, they'll ever work. But it's not really, you know, that's not really the point of it. I mean, that's what the standard greeter is for. Okay, so then there's a whole bunch of initializations that you need to do that is, again, very system-specific, so it's not really good to hard code inside the code base. So in etc.x11 GDM, there's a bunch of subdirectories. There's more in the latest development version than in the latest stable. So it's init, post-login, pre-session, post-session. So each of these subdirectories, it runs the first script it finds according to this rule. Either if it finds a display name, so if there's a file called colon zero, it runs that. If it's for the colon zero display, of course. Then it tries the host name, which is really useful for remote logins, right? Not really for local ones. Then it runs XDMCP, all uppercase, if it's an XDMCP remote login. So for all remote logins, it would run that. If it's a Flexi server, you know, it would run that. And if it can't find anything else to run, it tries to run default. And if it can't find that, it doesn't run anything. So the init directory is where you have the scripts that just set up the login screen. So this is before the greeter is actually run, right? So you could make it run some random status check program or something like that, or set up the background in some weird way. The post login is run just after the user actually authenticated. So PAM has already opened the session usually, but no user setup has been done. So it's very much just after all the authentication stuff has been done, but no setup. So for example, GDM hasn't looked into the home directory. So normally you would want to set up things like mounting user directories with PAM, but if you're lazy and don't want to do that, or there's some reason you don't want to do that, you would do it in post-login, which is actually only in the development versions now, because there were some people that PAM didn't work for them, so they needed something like this. By default, there's no script for the post-login. Then there's the pre-session, which is run after everything, after the user setup is pretty much complete and we're ready to launch the session. But you might want to do last minute setup as root for the user. So for example, setting up the UTEM, WTEM stuff that's done in a pre-session. Then the session is run, and then after the user logs out, there's the post-session script, which by default, again, does the UTEM, WTEM kind of things to tell the system that the user has logged out. And they're all run as root. And some of them, you have these variables, environmental variables that you can use, user and remote host. So remote host would only be set for remote logins, and user, of course, set for just the post-login, pre-session, post-session, right? Yeah?
I don't understand the difference between post-login and pre-session.
Okay, so basically post-login is just after, let's say the user entered his password, pressed enter. That's when post-login is done. Then there's a whole bunch of setup, like figuring out what your session is actually going to be and saving it in your login, in your directory and stuff like that, and figuring out if your home directory is safe and all that stuff. And then pre-session and stuff, right? So there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens that actually looks into the home directory. So if you need to set up a home directory, you would need to set it up in post-login. Pre-session is too late, okay? Yeah?
If I'm about to launch a program before your graphical user interface comes up, an accessibility, a screen reader.
Yeah?
I would like to launch it before your graphical user interface comes up. Where
it would be in the init.
In init?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there should be a script in the init that will launch your code. So.
Okay. And what kind of security has the problem?
All is run as root. So if you want to run it as an unprivileged user, you run it as a GDM or.
Practically, what I want is launch a program that will read for the blind people what your user interface of GDM looks like.
Yeah, so that's pretty much where you would run it from. But you would need to take care of it. That probably doesn't need to run as root, so you'd probably run it as nobody or GDM or some unprivileged user. So,
okay.
But that's the script where it would be set up.
Okay.
So, okay. Oh, and there's a... What happened? There's one more variable that actually gets set sometimes. Yikes. Okay, screw that. It's not really important. Okay, so then there's a session setup. So currently, the session setup is there's just a bunch of scripts that get run. And the name of the session is the name of the script. And it just executes and does all the setup. And this is kind of crack. One thing, you can translate the names, you can have any comments about the names. And really, this job of setting up the session is the same for every session, pretty much, except for the last thing where you run the session, run the thing that the user requested, or like setting up the languages and all that. It's the same for everything. So this is in the stable. In the development, this has changed, and KDM will have this set up in the future as well. So it's going to be more unified. And basically, instead of scripts, we have .desktop files, so the same as icons. And basically what happens is the desktop file is parsed, and the exec line is passed to this one setup script. And this one setup script does all the setup and then launches what the desktop file said. So this is, this is much better, but sort of changes everything. It was the last thing, there was a feature freeze or something. I was thinking, hey, I wanted to do this, so I did it the last day, so there might be some tweaks to this. So, and it's not in the paper, because I wrote the paper before doing this. So, okay, so the servers are set up, you always define how some server would look, so it should be like a standard server, or just give the command, and then you can have it flexible or not. And then this is the way you would set up local static servers. So you just say, I have one standard server and I have another standard server and I want to pass it -F0. as well. So you can make a whole bunch of different server types. I mean, if you have different setups for X that you need different command lines or something like that. And don't add the VT argument on Linux, because it takes care of that, and people do that and it just breaks everything. And I mean, GDM does it so that it avoids races. So okay, so we get to XDMCP. So this is the way XDMCP sort of works. It's basically the X server, in which case you could think of it as sort of a client, wants the GDM to set up a session, right? So it's sort of like asking for a date, right? First you query, and then, you know, if you think the X server is the guy and GDM is the beautiful girl, right? So first send the query, and the query is like sort of non-committal. I mean, are you willing to talk to me? And the girl says willing or unwilling, right? If it's unwilling, you go away. If it says willing, you know, try request. Would you like to have a session with me? And she says either accept or decline, you know, depending on, in the request you give your authentication, you know, sort of like the amount of money in your wallet or I don't know how. And if she says accept, and with the accept she would send, you know, give you her phone number or something, which would be the X cookie or however, I don't know, however you set up the authentication, and then you say manage, and, you know, manage me. So that would be sort of like standard conversation. I try not to use these words when trying to pick up a girl, but I don't think it will work. So you're probably going to get a slap in the face rather than unwilling. Okay, and it's pretty simple to set up on the GDM. Just enable on the server on the place where you want to log in to, because the word server kind of has different connotations. So on the big mainframe, you set up enable true in the section XDMCP. That turns on XDMCP login. And then you can actually have GDM also manage this terminal, right? So it could either be some X terminal that you bought, or it could be just standard, say, Linux machine with GDM running. And you can just set up a new server definition. And if you put this handle equals false, it means don't run a login on this. Just run the X server. And just manage it as an X server, but don't try to log in. And then what you do is pass the command line dash terminate so that it will terminate after every successful login, which makes it work much nicer. And then dash query, so query the server, which would be the host name of the server. So this is what you would do on the client machine. And you know, you run both and it just works. Okay, so there's another thing, which is indirect trace. So I don't think you can use the date example for this one, because it's sort of like proxying the query to another person. So it's sort of like asking a girl to get you a date with someone else. So, well, you could sort of do that. So basically what you do is you do an indirect query, and this is all sort of fuzzy in the way it's supposed to work. Originally, you were supposed to get sort of the host that you wanted to go to somewhere else, but apparently the way most places work now and XDM works is that you sort of do this indirect query, which means forward me somewhere else, you know, get me a date. The GDM server on some machine says, well, I don't know who to get you a date with, so I'm going to run a session for you, because indirect query is sort of just like a query, and it runs a chooser for you. And it queries a whole bunch of hosts and find out which ones are willing.
Dateline.
Yeah, dateline. So so it sort of does the work for you of asking different different girls. And then when you end your session, it sort of remembers your choice for some period of time. And when you run an indirect query again, you say, oh, I remember you. You wanted that girl. So forwards your query. So this is kind of a weird way of this working, because it's actually two sessions running. Most of the time you would think of the chooser running, and then immediately you would, you know, the session would happen again. But actually this X server dies and you start again. One of the problems with this is, for example, if you run your if you run your session as a flexible server, right? It ends after the chooser, and and these are the other. So you can read the paper, I guess. All the stuff except that a whole bunch of stuff was implemented down. So okay. So time on. Any questions? I don't know. Yeah?
Will we find like operation on some site now?
Well, I don't know where the paper goes. I mean, there should be proceeds from this. I'm going to put the PDF on the site, and I'm going to update it as well. So, and I mean, I sort of wrote the paper because I said, oh, well, I need documentation anyway. So I'm just going to start with this and then update it and work from there. So yeah, it's going to be on the site. The GDM site is the one that was on the... Yeah, 5Z or yourcode.org, or yeah, both of them work. So they're the same site for it. Okay?